have found, as Katrina pointed out, that we truly have been under attack with, this past week, and I think it's directly correlated to the message that I have today. I got a little bit of a case of the nerves, which I usually don't have, or at least have not had for quite some time. And I'm having some, my stomach is upset. And that's just on top of some of the things that we were under attack with this week. So there is clearly something that I have here that is really ticking the enemy off. So before we get into the message, why don't we take a few minutes, just pray, and then we'll get into the message, okay? Dear God, we do thank you for who you are and for your provision. We thank you that you are the God of all things and that you mean to bless us in all ways. So, Father, right now we just ask that your Spirit would come in to speak to our hearts, that the words come out of my mouth would be yours, that the words that the people hear would be yours, that the enemy would be bound now in the name of Jesus Christ because he has no place in this house. He has no place in our lives because we were meant to live in freedom. And the Lord, we claim that now. We invite you here, Holy Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Now, are we ready to go? Now, for those of you who have followed my messages in the past, you know that they tend to follow a common theme. Most of my messages are almost always about freedom, about living in freedom in some way. And it's because my heart for all believers is that they live in freedom and they live in the destiny to which they have been called. So you hear me preach about emotional freedom or spiritual freedom, physical freedom. But I've never preached on the topic of living financially free until today. Today we're going to talk and start the process of a topic that's going to probably take me some time to cover. Today's kind of, the title is Finances Part 1. So that implies there's going to be more parts, and there will be. We're going to, whenever I preach for the next few months, I'm going to talk about the topic of being financially free because, frankly, there's a lot of dimensions to it, and so it's going to take me a little bit of time to cover. Now, I know what some of you may be thinking. You're going, ah, great, here we go. A bunch of messages about tithing. I want you to understand that my heart is that you are financially free. I only care about tithing within the overall picture of living financially free. As such, tithing is just a small subset of what I will get to at some point in time. But it probably won't be for a while. Probably won't be for, well, I don't even know how long. But when I do, you probably won't even hear me use the term tithing very much as I may use the term giving. So, now that we got that whole thing out of the way, can we move on? We good? What I have found is that very rarely are there any discussions from the pulpit about financial freedom. Now, there are lots of scriptures on finances. You've probably heard that there's probably more scriptures on finances than just about any other topic except love. You've probably heard that there are like over 2,300 Bible verses just about finances. This is evidence to me that this is an important topic to God. Now, why is that? Because the Lord understands that we will allow money to become the master of our lives quicker than almost anything else. despite the importance that Scripture places on instruction and finances, and despite the emphasis that the world places on finances, there's very little taught on this topic. Personal finances are hardly ever taught in school, particularly in high school. And as a result, that we basically are being raised as our children are being raised financially illiterate, right? Just the same way we were. To be quite honest, I learned almost everything I learned about finances was after I moved out of the house, and you know, it was kind of trial by error. There was recently a test on personal finances that was given to a group of high school students. 52% of them got an F. That's the kind of the scope, the magnitude of the illiteracy. So how about some other information? Just what is the magnitude of the problem that we're talking about? As Americans, we have learned that when we want something, we want it now. We want it from the government now. We want stuff that we see in the window now. And it doesn't matter that we go into debt to get it. We want stuff, and we want it now. And so what has the result been then? The national debt right now is $11.909 trillion. That's like an unfathomable number. To pay back that debt, every man, woman, and child in this country is on the hook for nearly $39,000. 43% of American families spend more than they earn. 43% take in more than goes out. Or no, the other way around. Yeah, the other way around. They spend more than what they take in. The average American household has $8,000 of credit card debt. Personal bankruptcies have doubled in the past decade. Nearly half of all Americans have less than $10,000 saved for their retirement. That to me, that just staggers me, that one right there. $10,000 isn't going to go very far. I'm not sure relying on the government is a smart thing to do. 80% of marital problems are over money. It is the number one reason for divorce, financial issues, number one reason for divorce. Now, in the past, you have heard me say, hey, it's all about the relationship. Relationship first with a triune God, and then relationship with others. But that's not the world's message. What is the world's message? The world's message is, it's all about the money. Right? It's all about the Benjamins. Heard that expression before. Right? It's all about the Benjamins. I recently saw an article on the front page of the USA Today. And it was a political article, but it was an article about who was raising the most money. See, with the world, it's always about the money, if it's not about the power. And we're typically one or the other. But it's almost always about the money. And what's the world's mantra? You've even seen it on bumper stickers. Whoever dies with the most toys wins. Right? And since we're in this world, we really tend to get indoctrinated into that. We get caught up in the, hey, it's all about the money mentality, don't we? Because, I mean, it's like 24/7. It's constant bombardment. But what are we really saying if we adopt this, hey, it's all about the money attitude? What we're really saying is that the money is our master. So I have two goals for today's message. The first is to start the process of viewing finances from a heavenly perspective. In the end, financial freedom is about spiritual freedom. Getting right with God means getting our whole selves right with God and that means our finances as well. The second goal I have today is to offer you hope that you could be financially free. And I want to start with this second thing first, so that you can kind of hear the rest of the message, particularly for any of you who may be in some type of financial distress. Because, you know, if someone's in pain, right, there's no point in making them sit through a whole message on healing, right? Might as well get them up, get them healed. I think that they'll probably be more attentive to the message. Do you agree? So I want to take a little time first to offer hope to anybody who may be in financial bondage, maybe somebody who may be under some financial stress. Now, as we jump into this message, I want to keep in mind, I want to reiterate it one more time, that my heart's desire is to see that all of God's people are financially free. Okay, so I admit it. I want you to be wealthy. And I want to be wealthy. I want the righteous to be wealthy. Right? It makes sense that the righteous should be wealthy before the unrighteous, right? So I want the righteous to be wealthy. I want you all to be that place where you're financially free. So the righteous, it's okay to have the righteous, it's okay for the righteous to have money, right? Is it? Or wait a minute. What about that verse that says that money is the root of all evil? It says that in Scripture, right? Oh, it doesn't? Oh. See, you guys are well-schooled. What does it say? It said, yeah, 1 Timothy 6:10 says this, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs." Okay, so it's the love of money. Also intrigues me, though, what follows that. Wandered from the faith and pierced them with many griefs. Pierced themselves with many griefs. You see, it's not about whether you have money or if you don't have money. It's all about the condition of your heart. If we love money too much, then it keeps us from relationship with God. And He is not willing then to prosper us. All right, so let's begin. As I mentioned, I wanted to start in the area of hope. Now, for those of you who may be currently struggling or in some kind of financial distress, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is this. You don't have to live this way. This was never intended for you to live in financial bondage. Okay, that was never God's intent for you to live in financial bondage, or for that matter, any bondage. So with the Lord's help, you are absolutely able to get out of whatever mess it is that you're in. I have more good news. Financial freedom is simple. What I mean by that is it isn't rocket science. Okay, it's simple. It's simply a matter of taking in more than is going out and directing your excess toward debts or investing. Okay? Okay, here's the bad news. The road to financial freedom is not easy. It's hard. The problem, of course, is that there's either too much debt and too many other expenses, or there's not enough income. Now, you're probably saying, well, yeah, if I had, you know, enough income, I wouldn't have to worry about my debt and my other expenses. Well, that's true. But, of course, for many who are in financial distress, it's because at some point we made a decision, either conscious or unconscious, that we're going to live outside of our means. And that's independent of the income that you're taking in. Now, I don't mean to ignore those who have lost their income for whatever reason, but for those of you who've got yourself into a financial mess because you're spending more than you're taking in, you have got to break the cycle. And I say that to myself as well. We have got to break the cycle. in the quest for stuff, your credit cards are maxed out. In the quest for stuff, your home equity line of credit is maxed out. You're paying minimums on all your bills just to get by, or you're paying one bill, going into debt to pay one bill and going back and forth. It is not sustainable. And even though you're earning a living wage, it seems like you don't have enough to live on. The problem here, of course, is that you're ruining your financial heritage. I want to direct your attention to a verse in Jeremiah. Jeremiah in chapter 10 and verse 21, it says this: "The shepherds are senseless and do not inquire of the Lord, so they do not prosper, and all their flock is scattered." Think of yourself as the shepherd over the dollars that you take in. If you're senseless, like whipping out the credit card and calling the number on TV every time it says, "Call now," then you will not prosper and your flock of dollars will scatter. You with me? The thing about this too is it's often not the big buys that get us in trouble. It's often those continual little purchases. "Ooh, I gotta have this. This looks so good on me, doesn't it? I have to have this. Oh, I gotta have that." It just kind of grinds down our finances. It's also the habits that affect our cash flow too, isn't it? So let's say you stop by every morning at some fancy coffee place and you drop $5. I don't even know what they cost, but $5 on some double espresso cinnamon latte thingy. Right? And if you work 22 days in a month, which is about the average, well, that's $110 a month. Okay, now that's a lot more than just throwing $10 into the coffee mess at work every month, isn't it? So let's say you take the difference. Difference of that, of course, 110 minus 10, that's 100, right? Everybody agrees? My math right? Okay. And you invest that in a decent, doesn't even have to be that great of a mutual fund. It's just a decent mutual fund. $100 a month invested for 50 years at a return of 10% per year will yield $1,732,439.08. $1.7 million. Man, I hope that's good coffee. The point is, it's the little things that will eat you alive. If you took the difference between eating out each workday and brown bagging it, and let's say the difference between eating out and brown bagging it is $5. For 22 days, that's $110 a month. Investing $110 a month for 50 years at 10% will yield over $1.9 million. By the way, just in general, just a little tidbit here, just eating out in general will eat you alive, pardon the pun. It'll eat your budget alive. What about cigarettes? Let's say that you puff a pack a day. $5 a day for 30 days. See, you're going to smoke those whether you're at work or not, right? So you got to count all 30 days there. For 30 days, that's $150 a month. Invested using the same parameters that I already talked about will yield $2.6 million. That stuff adds up, doesn't it? So, first little practical tip. Whenever you're laying out expenses, consider what the real cost of it is. Say to yourself, "Hey, you know, if I took this and if I invested it, like Mike was saying, in a good, mutual fund, 10% over a year, how much will it yield over X number of years?" Okay? Spending money on the little things kills us. They add up, they keep you in debt, they keep you from saving. See, this is all about stewardship. If you're breaking out the plastic every time you absolutely need to have something, then you're not being a good steward over the money that the Lord has entrusted to you. All right, remember the parable in the parable of the talents? Yeah, I didn't know I was bringing that up some point. Matthew 25. Here's a quick synopsis. I don't want to read through the whole thing. It's a man is going on a journey, right? He leaves 5 talents to one servant. He leaves 2 talents to another servant. He leaves 1 talent to a third servant. The first servant took the 5 talents, invested it, and earned 5 more talents. The second servant took the 2 talents, invested it, and earned 2 more talents. And to both of these servants, the master said the following. In Matthew 21 and also the same verse in 23. This is Matthew 25, 21 and 25 and 23. I'm not good with numbers. I guess I shouldn't be preaching on this. It says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." You see, when we're faithful with what the Lord has given us, He blesses us with more. So what about the third servant then? He took the 1 talent and he buried it in the ground and then returned the 1 talent to his master upon his return, right? Note here what the servant did. He didn't spend the money irresponsibly. He just didn't invest it wisely, or he didn't invest it at all, really. But note what the master says to him here. Again, the same chapter, Matthew 25, starting in verse 26, he says, "His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has been given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Yike. You know, sometimes, I hate to say this, but sometimes we're worse than that last servant. Because not only do we not invest it, but we spend the money that's been entrusted to us irresponsibly. So if we want to prosper, we need to be getting our financial house in order. Now, some of you are going, "Hey, Mike, I thought this was the part that was going to be about hope." I'll say, yeah, I hope the Lord doesn't throw us in the darkness where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. No, but seriously, the hope is this. The Lord wants to prosper us. He cares more about our character than He does about our wealth, but the Lord wants to prosper us just the same. I want to call your attention to one of my favorite verses in Scripture. It's Jeremiah 29, verse 11, and it says this: "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." See, there's no need for us to walk around with this poverty mentality. This is not what the Lord has planned for you. So stop thinking that way. The Lord does not want you living either in poverty or with a poverty mentality. He plans to prosper you. He is just waiting for you to give it all to Him. I don't care how deep your financial hole is. You can be free. It won't be easy, as I mentioned before, but you can be free. Further, the Lord not only wants you to be free, but He wants to prosper you. All right, so let's move on then to viewing the finances from a heavenly perspective. Part of getting our hearts right with God includes getting our finances right with God. The two cannot be separated. For evidence, I want to go into Matthew 6. There are two verses there. Matthew 6, verse 21 says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You've heard that one before, right? And then jumping down just a few verses from there to Matthew 24, it says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now, your walk with the Lord, your intimacy with the Lord, your desire for a pure heart is inexorably linked to your attitude toward finances. Because if you can't surrender your finances to God, then you won't surrender other areas of your life to Him either. And part of this I alluded to already. First, remember that the stuff we have, everything that we own, everything that we make, it is not ours. It doesn't belong to us. And it's hard for us to get our heads around that, as Americans in particular, right? You know, Mr. and Ms. Independence, right? We stand free, it's mine. Don't tread on me. Keep your meat hooks off, right? But remember that we live not only in the world, but we also... There's a spiritual dimension to our existence, okay? And that's different. It all belongs to God. Just like the three servants in the parable of the talents, right? Your salary, your car, your house, your awesome set of tools, your Longaberger baskets, all right? The jewelry on your fingers, the cash in your mutual funds, it all belongs to Him. We have only been given charge of it for a season. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says this, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Riches and honor come from you alone. For you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and it is at your discretion that people are made great and given strength." All right, so it all belongs to God. Furthermore, it's God who confers riches and honor, think wealth and power. It's God who confers wealth and power upon people. All right, now, with a show of hands, who all wants to be wealthy? All right, anybody have their hands down? Okay, some of them are like, I don't know. All right, so we'll make it sound a little more spiritual. Who wants to be financially free? All right, yeah, that's better, okay. All right, what does this really mean? What does the expression financial freedom really mean? Well, according to the awesome research engine Wikipedia, financial freedom is defined as the ability to maintain oneself in comfort. Think of in the lifestyle that you're used to, without steady employment. It's basically being able to live in a comfortable lifestyle that you're used to without steady employment. It's okay to say that we want to be financially free. So get them up there. Yeah, I want to be financially free. It's like saying, who wants to be emotionally free? And you go, oh, I don't know if that's asking too much. Right? It's okay to be financially free. It's okay to talk about it. But we're not going to talk about financial freedom without acknowledging the Lord and making the Lord the center over the discussion. Okay? Because when we talk about money, as I mentioned, it's so easy to lose sight of the Lord. I mean, we say, yeah, that the Lord has all aspects of our lives. Oh, yeah, I've surrendered. I've surrendered to the Lord. I've given it all to Him. I have. But the reality is that when it comes to our finances, we get what we want when we want. We focus on the stuff and not on the Lord. So we go, yeah, the Lord, yeah, I've surrendered everything to the Lord except this. You can't have this, Lord. No, this is mine. Kind of silly. Has anybody been there but me? I'm the only one. So if we're determined to acknowledge God in all things, including our quest for financial freedom, it's helpful to know what God's part is in all of this. Okay? Now, a lot of this we discussed already. First, it all belongs to God. Say it with me. It all belongs to God. One more time. It all belongs to God. Okay, so the next time you want to get that thing that you absolutely just can't do without, right? Ooh, that dress. Ooh, yeah, look at that big old long breaker bar. I need that. Remember, huh? Or remember that it all belongs to God. Now, this is not, by the way, to make you feel guilty about buying stuff. Okay, I have no problem with stuff. It's all about where your heart is. And acknowledging that it all belongs to God, and acknowledging the Lord in all that we spend, will help with your attitude. So you're not just going to pick up the phone every time you see call now. Oh well, they say you got to call now. I guess I got to do it. All right. He confers wealth and power at His discretion. You're striving for more wealth ain't going to happen unless the Lord allows it. Right? You with me on that? He confers wealth and power at His discretion. So relax. You can do all that striving. It's not going to get you very far. He's more committed to our character and our relationship with Him than He is about wealth. Now admit it, somewhere deep inside you're going, okay, He's more committed to our character than our wealth. And you're going, rats. Nuts. Scripture says it like this in Romans 5. And starting verse 3 says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And somewhere deep inside you're going, rats. Suffering, perseverance, character, blah. Next thing you're going to tell me I need to eat my asparagus. Sorry, but aren't you so thankful that we have a God who loves us enough to develop our character? Yeah, and some of you are going, yeah, like, whatever. Yeah. If we're determined to acknowledge God in our quest for financial freedom, then we also have to acknowledge our part in all of this. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 says this, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Our part is to be faithful with the resources that God has blessed us with. No matter how much, no matter how little, just like the parable of the talents, to be faithful with what we have been given. That's the deal. God does His part, we do our part, and it all works out. Right? All right, so let's take some of these things we've been talking about, try to turn them into some practical steps. Some we're going to deal with now in its entirety, and some I'm just going to touch upon and expand then on those things in future messages. The first are more spiritual in nature. First, acknowledge that it all belongs to God. Right? That's the mantra from now on, right? So for me, the mantra is it's all about the relationship, and now it all belongs to God. The finances, the material things He's blessed us with, it all belongs to Him. So acknowledge it. Next, repent and decide in your heart that you're going to be a good steward of the finances that God has blessed you with. Decide that every penny that you take in will be handled responsibly. Now, part of this repentance means asking the Lord to help you get out of this mess that you have gotten yourself into. Don't go with this, hey, I got myself into this mess. I can get myself out of this mess. I'm not going to ask the Lord to help me with this. Don't feel guilty about going to the Lord because of what you got yourself into. He wants to walk this out with you. Remember, with the Lord, it is about the relationship. And so you go into Him, say, Lord, I've sinned. This is what I've done. I can't get out of this. Help me. He likes nothing more than come alongside you, lift you up, and walk with you and walk this thing out together and build that relationship more closely. So invite the Lord into your finances and help Him walk it out with you. Next, bind the spirit of poverty and that poverty mentality that may be in you. And claim that Jeremiah 29:11 for yourself. Claim that God has a plan to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. In fact, I want to take a look at Jeremiah 29:11 again. And this time, I'm going to go from 11 all the way down to verse 13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon Me and pray to Me, and I will listen to you. You will seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your heart. See that? See the relationship in there? You don't often hear the second part of that. So this is what I hope that you will claim and commit to claim His promise and commit to seek Him with all your heart. These two principles are connected. You can't have the one without the other. Okay? They go together. The second list that I have, so those three things there. Acknowledge it all belongs to Him. Repent and decide your heart you're going to be a good steward of the finances He's blessed you with. And then bind that spirit of poverty and that poverty mentality. The second list of practical steps I'm going to develop more in future messages, but here's the Reader's Digest version of those. And remember, by the way, this is all about good stewardship for the purposes of having a deeper relationship with the Lord. Okay, first, get into the Crown Financial Series and the Dave Ramsey Total Money Makeover book. Crown Financial Series. Do we have that going on right now? No? Okay. Periodically, the Crown Financial Series is considered, by the way, a core course here at Prague. So the next time it's offered, the Crown Financial Series, do it. Okay. The other one that I really like is Dave Ramsey's The Total Money Makeover. I assume you've probably heard that. This is like the best practical guide to financial freedom I've ever seen. Okay, so I refer that resource to you as well. All right, so that's learning a little bit more about financial freedom. What are some other practical steps? Okay, here's a real revelatory one. Spend less than you take in. All right, we'll talk about that more, but this means having a budget and knowing what's coming in and what is going out. Okay? Probably do a whole sermon just on that. Avoid debt. And if you're in debt, get out of debt. Nothing steals wealth quite like being in debt. I'm going to do a whole message in that one too. Plan ahead for larger expenses. You know, when you know bigger things, plan ahead for that. And get rid of your credit cards. Okay. Establish a savings and investment plan. Slowly but surely, save a little bit every month, right? And one day, it's going to be a huge nest egg. $1.7 million. And finally, give generously. And we'll probably have a message on that as well. So future messages, I'm going to cover all that stuff in more detail. All right, in conclusion, probably going, geez, what was the big attack that the Wagners had this week? You guys know that we drive this blue minivan, and we've had it for 10 years. It's a 99 Oldsmobile Silhouette, 166,000 miles on it. Had the transmission rebuilt once. Had a big bill to pay on it in, I don't know, March or April, something like that. We were going to get rid of it then, but I didn't want to go into debt because I'm trying to live financially free. So I didn't want to go into debt. Well, this week, Katrina's driving up the road, going up Calvert County. Suddenly, the car just won't go. The engine runs great, but just can't engage. Won't go forward, won't go back. At least if it went back, you know, she could drive like this, right? But it won't go in reverse, won't go forward. It's just dead. So we make the decision, hey, we're not going to spend another penny investing in this car because it's 10-year-old GM with 166,000 miles. So I start looking for a car. Get on the internet. Click, 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 click. Oh, yeah. Here's a nice one. Ooh, just what we've been looking for. $18,000. I don't have $18,000. I'd have to borrow money for $18,000 to pay for this car. So went to the bank. I don't like doing this. I don't want to do this. You know, applied online, went to the bank, picked up my little voucher. You know, you just fill it in for the amount, right? And they start charging you every month. They make it so easy. Guy at work says, hey, I know this guy. He's a used car salesman. I mean, you know, he is. But he'll take care of you. I recommend him. I say, okay. Call him up, tell him what we're interested in, trying not to go into, and I'm talking to him and say, yeah, hey, one of the things, we're trying not to go into debt too much, really trying to minimize that. And he said, you are, huh? Well, I got this older, it's not exactly what you're looking for, but I have this vehicle here, it's a 2002, so it's, you know, it's 7 years old, going on 8, kind of older, but it only has 50,000 miles on it. So for a 7-year-old car with only 50,000 miles, that's a rarity. And he said, it's really clean. So I said, okay, well, we'll come in and we'll take a look at it. So Katrina and I went in, we took a look at it and drove it around. And the price that was advertised was like 70, you know how they do the $79.95, basically $8,000. So I said, I said, could you offer us a better deal than that? He goes, yeah, I think so. I think probably take 10% off that, no problem. So in the end, we ended up walking away with this vehicle for like $7,200. Okay, and that I could pay for without going into debt. And the reason is because just this week, I had cashed out some investments, and just this week I got a check for $7,000. Seven, almost, yes, about $7,000. Okay, so that was the reason. God is faithful. God wants to prosper us. Now, you see, I don't have to go into that monthly payment. So now I can stay on my plan that I learned about in the Total Money Makeover book. I can stay on my plan. Okay? You see, God wants to bless us. He's just waiting for us to acknowledge His role in this, to repent of past fiscal irresponsibility, and the purpose in our hearts to be good stewards of the resources He entrusted to us. Please stand if you would. Proverbs 13:18 says this: He who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame. But whoever heeds correction is honored. This is our chance to heed correction if we need it and to get onto a different program. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we take this moment in time. Lord, we're here together as a family, and yet we all have individual needs when it comes to finances. And we're all unique in that way. But Father, You do want to prosper us. So right now, we just acknowledge that it all belongs to You, Father. Lord, we repent and we turn away from the things that we have done in the past in which we have spent money irresponsibly. And today we commit to be good stewards of the money that You have entrusted to us. And furthermore, Father, we invite You into our finances. We invite You to come and walk with us as we seek to get to financial freedom, as we seek to get out of debt, as we seek to manage our expenses more with greater wisdom. And yes, even as we seek to increase our income. But Father, we want to walk it out with You. Lord, we know, because we know, Lord, that it is about the relationship. And so now, Father, we reach out to You and we ask that You would come and walk with us as we go into a place to be financially free. In Jesus' name, we ask this and we thank You for everything that You've provided to us. Amen. All right, so here's what we're going to do. If you have some business to attend to with the Lord, hey, Tim, can you put on a little bit of music? If you have some business to deal with the Lord up here, then I encourage you to do that. If you want to deal with business right where you are in your seats, you can do that too. If you want to come forward with someone to pray with you over this, we can do that too. So in other words, pretty much any way you want to handle this, I'm all good. Okay? Otherwise, you're dismissed. Be blessed.